lost or saved find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. And every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to flee at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed, the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Yeah, your great name. Redeemer, my healer, oh my dear, my Savior, defender, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, oh my dear, my Savior, defender, you are my King. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Your great name.
All right, friends, if you want to pay attention with me on the overhead screen, allow me to open by saying this. Exactly 1 year ago, our church life came to a screeching halt due to an unknown disease that even a child now can easily pronounce and probably spell. COVID-19, or the coronavirus. And I want to go on record saying this, if I haven't said it enough already, I am very, very, very proud of this church, this extended church, you and those watching at home, for the measures you took in protecting yourself and others, and also the amount of prayer and perseverance we enjoyed together in this last 12 months. 12 months is behind us. What have we learned? Well, we learned a lot. But right now, don't lose sight of the months in front of us. We're going to continue to exercise caution. while trusting Christ as Savior. But as I've already said, I want to thank you for your efforts, including Exhibit A. This right here is just a sampling, one that was left in a Sunday school classroom, that a husband and wife team came here this week, almost this day, exactly 12 months ago, and they came here at 8.05 p.m. after work, and they worked feverishly for an hour doing a deep, deep cleaning there in a Sunday school class. Many of these classes haven't been touched, other than us doing a general cleaning right now. Many of these forms right here, the deep cleaning we performed, you, me, others, and they're still back here. It's littered all over the building. I want you to know, since day one, we were at war with this disease, and many of you took this seriously, and many of you have been making sacrifices for the Lord. I understand that, and that's why we're just not ready to sweep us under the rug and just go back to life as we knew before. As I said last week, when I'm often asked, do you think we will ever go back to life as we knew it before the coronavirus, I usually respond respectfully, dear God, I hope not. Not when all the attention was given to ourselves. Not when the church was an afterthought. Not when evangelism was an option. Dear God, I hope now you've awoken us. You've awakened the church to the need of spreading the gospel. A worldwide pandemic. You think about this. A worldwide pandemic where a recorded 549,000 people in America died in the last, well, in 2020. In 2020, either from the coronavirus or with the coronavirus. Now, we could argue that point. But what we can argue is, watch this, in the same 12-month period last year in 2020, 3.1 million people died in America. Not from the coronavirus, they just died. That was a 12.9% increase over the previous year. You know what I'm getting at here? I'm getting at what we've learned from the coronavirus. Some very serious subject matters. You following with me on the overhead screen, you saw last week that we learned about the seriousness of life. Perspective. Everyone say perspective. Perspective. This is very serious and sobering. We're going to die. Friends, we're going to die. Last year, 3.1 million people died. Not counting to really, or to include, I guess, the 500,000 people with the coronavirus, but with or without the coronavirus, we learn from the book of James that life truly is brief. Don't waste it. Last week we delved into that. Life is brief, death is sure. Sin was the cause, but Christ Jesus is the cure. You and I know the cure to this. Not necessarily cure to the coronavirus. The vaccinations are helping that. Well, we know the cure to death without Jesus Christ. That's why we're spending these 3 weeks prior to Palm Sunday in this brief series about what we have learned from the coronavirus. I submit to you many others that have died. Just this past week, a death, dear Sister Joyce, not the coronavirus, but another disease, pneumonia, and some other things. Those who took time to read the March newsletter, this is Exhibit B of us taking this seriously. I have a dear friend who served in France, Senegal, Uganda, Gambia, and Kenya as a IMB missionary for more than 20 years before retiring back to the southern United States. He served God faithfully before he went overseas. He served God faithfully on foreign soil with his family, and he came back to America just to retire. He's going to live the American dream. He got involved as a Christian, a retired missionary who's still actively engaged in what we're celebrating here today, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the simple gospel. He came back to the family farm. The parents were ailing and aging. He, with his own hands and the aid of his wife, he got his contractor license. He built his own home on the family farm. He got involved in the school system. He worked with sports. He loved God, loved his church, loved his family, contracted the coronavirus, and he died. Just another victim. There's no exemptions. Death is no respecter of persons. Today I'm asking you as a church to pray for a dear family member or a friend of our family, a dear young man, is very, very near and dear to us, 35 years of age, who contracted the coronavirus this past week. It went into double pneumonia. He's built like a brick wall, extremely athletic, a very dear family to our family personally. He's on life support right now. It's not looking good. How many of you know it's time to get serious? How many of you know that life truly is brief? That's why you and I must make our peace with the gospel. We must come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then once we know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, what are we going to do with it? We're going to share with others. So we offend someone, so what? If it upsets them, and I'm going to come for you witnessing me on the street or a Walmart in the workplace, folks, I would rather offend someone here than offend Jesus Christ there. Amen? Could Jesus say, what did you do? What did you do with the gospel? Dallas, what did you do with the gospel? Hallelujah, you're saved. But I gave you the tools. I gave you the training. I gave you all these things here. 3.1 million people died last year in America alone. I wonder how many now are residing in heaven. I wonder how many now are in the presence of Almighty God. You ever think about it? Folks, that's why we're so serious right now. We say we're about Christ and not the coronavirus. And all of God's children said, amen. But we must address the fact that it's still here on our doorstep. People have said the worst is behind us, but the end really is not in sight yet. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in the next few weeks, months, nay, the next year with those who do not know Jesus Christ? What do we do about our personal relationship? When I asked you rhetorically just a couple of weeks ago, I asked myself the same question. Are we, am I closer to Jesus Christ right now, today, March the 14th, as I was 12 months ago on March the 14th? I want you to know, yes. You know why? Perspective. Everybody say perspective. Perspective. I had a lot of time to sit down with God and said, Lord, as never before, I need your divine intervention. I know you as Savior. I feel your Spirit, but I don't want to waste 1 second of my life. And God has equipped and empowered me just to share the same challenges He's put before me. How life really is brief. That's the first thing we learned last week, perspective. But today, if you're keeping notes, we'll be learning about patience. This is important. Patience, a virtue worth the wait. Patience. Lord, give me patience. Give it to me now. That's an old joke that doesn't carry very much weight, does it? Lord, give me patience. We all want this coronavirus behind us. Yes. We all want to see America brought back to what it once was. Yes. But Isaiah also recognized this. Isaiah, with God's people also, they were going through a pandemic. They were going through bondage. They also were enslaved. And the book of Isaiah, if you haven't had a chance to unpack this or really dissect this, the book of Isaiah, the Jewish nation really loves. It's very similar to our Bible. It has 66 chapters, just like the Bible has 66 books. It has two major divisions. Chapter 1 through chapter 39 is talking about the presence of God, the struggles, the need of a Messiah. But in chapter 40, you see the promise and the comfort coming onto the scene. Just like in our New Testament, Jesus Christ shows up. And everybody can put a smile on their face behind their mask and say, Jesus shows up. This really is a picture of what's taking place here in the book of Isaiah. Right now, we're at the chapter break in Isaiah chapter 40. This is a time of comfort and counsel. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1. This really is the theme of Isaiah 40. Yes, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, saith your God. You and I who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we don't only get to counsel people, we get to comfort people. Perhaps this week, You've comforted someone, and we've already mentioned here earlier, who passed away. Or someone else called you and said, I have a personal prayer request. Dale just mentioned with me this morning about his son, Brandon. Thank you, Dale. I'm going to add him back to my prayer list. I already have him on there. I'll bump him up. You again share some other things that's going on in his life. You and Joanne, this is important. If it was my son, I'd want you to pray. Folks, you understand where God has encouraged us to be patient and prayer warriors, to comfort one another in struggles. Well, they're about to see the big picture here. The comfort, the counsel, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the coming of Christ Jesus. Look in verse number 21. Isaiah 40, verse number 21. We're all about the patience, a virtue worth waiting for. Here's what Isaiah 40, verse 21 says. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? You see what it's saying? Have you not understand the simplicity of the gospel? It is God. It is He, in verse 22, who sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as but grasshoppers. Let's fast forward to verse number 28 for our study today. How we've learned here in the second part of our series, how patience really is a virtue worth waiting on. Verse 28 through 31, he repeats himself, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He faints not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. We can't even fathom the mind of God. We have a God who doesn't slumber nor sleep. Some of you are a little dreary-eyed today. We gave up an hour's sleep last night. Now, I joke with you coming in. I can tell by the looks of your eyes, you went to bed at the same time. You lost an hour's sleep. Yeah, I know it. I said, it's really not a sacrifice for us, friends, to give up an hour's sleep when we put things in perspective. Life is brief. I heard a physician say this week that the average American sleeps 20 years of their life. Can you imagine? Rip Van Winkle, you do the math. If we'd live to be 80 years of age, we sleep 20 years of our life. Wow. You are joking about that now. I hear you over here. Somebody wake him up right now. We gave up an hour of sleep last night, but praise God, we serve a God Almighty who doesn't slumber, who doesn't sleep. He always has time for us, even though we can't understand the fullness of God. Verse 28, notice with me in verse 29 how He still loves us. He gives power and the presence to the faint-hearted, to them that have no might. This is important. You may be struggling today. He increases our strength. You're saying, I don't know how much more I can take. Not with a silly coronavirus. We said it over and over again. It's about Christ, not a corona. It's about the comfort of God. It's not about the coronavirus and the ills thereof. But we must put it in perspective. We must exercise patience. We need strength today. Everyone say strength. Strength. We need strength today, Almighty God. Increase our strength. In verse 29. Verse 30, what about the youth? There's no exemptions. No exceptions. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men also will also fall. They shall utterly fall. But now we come to that signature verse that many of you have claimed as your life verse. But they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait is a forestry word. It means like an ivy would wrap around a tree and just cling to the tree. Perhaps you notice this in your yard, how an ivy branch would just wrap around the tree and cling to that tree and grow around that tree. That's what it means to wait on God, to cling to God. They that wait to wrap themselves around God, wait upon the Lord. What are we going to do? We're going to renew our strength. We will mount up with wings as turkeys. Is that what it says? No, as eagles, that majestic bird. Oh, we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. I want you to write down this Bible verse while I read it. Psalm 27, verse number 14, talking about patience and waiting. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and God will strengthen you. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Friends, this is what I've learned to do as never before in the past 12 months. Put things in perspective? Yes. What's really important in my life? What is really important in my life? You know, you and I could go down the list. The dishes didn't get made this morning. So what? I forgot to make the bed today. So what? I need to rotate the tires on the car and get it inspected in due time. Is that really important? Perspective. What's really important? Life is brief. Last Sunday. And patience. Patience. Taking advantage of this time with God. Many of us have been not isolated. We have been captivated. We've been in our homes, just captivated, hanging on the television. When's the vaccination will come out? You know, the only means of outreach to the world for many here, Miss Anna Ruth and others, has just been the phone. And every time I would call Anna Ruth, she was always an encouragement to me. She always comforted me. But I say, Anna Ruth, we got to keep things in perspective. She said, yes, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, preacher. Keep preaching the word. Give the hope. Give the comfort. Verse number 1, chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, patience. This virtue that is rarely practiced today. We want a quick fix Christianity. We want God to come in and rescue us right now. Not only from the coronavirus, you may be waiting on other things. You may have lost a job. Ouch, that hurts. I have many family members and friends that are still not gainfully employed. They lost their job. One of 24 years, just a few years away from retirement, lost everything. You know the same kind of people. They may be waiting on God to open that door so they can again give back to society. This whole entitlement age we live in, this is not my dearest friends and family members. They don't understand what that means. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. They want to give back to society. They want to make, again, a tangible contribution to the world as we know it today. You and I know people. Perhaps yourself is waiting on a job. You may be waiting on a medical report, a positive medical report. You may be waiting on an unanswered prayer with a wayward son or daughter, a spouse, whatever it is. Don't give up hope. Look, comfort one another. Draw strength from the Lord. What can we learn from Isaiah 40, verse 31? I'm going to give you four things to write down here quickly. Four things down here we can learn quickly. Patience. Patience is worth waiting for from the Bible. The first thing we learn is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is important. Rather than having a pity party, grow in your strength. Grow in your stature with God. There is strength in waiting. There is strength in waiting. If you were honest with God and yourself today, looking back on your 40, 50, 60 years of life, you may remember other pandemics in your life. Times of war, when a loved one went off to war, a sickness, a divorce, a loss of job, a loss of wealth, whatever it may be. And you waited on God, you waited on God. If you were really honest with yourself, it's very likely you grew closer to the Lord during those struggles. Some of the greatest life lessons are learned in a foxhole. Some of the greatest life lessons are learned in a hospital. You know this, some of the greatest life lessons when you and I are on our knees, faithfully, patiently waiting on God, wrapping ourselves around like that ivy branch, clinging to the great rock of our faith, Jesus Christ. Don't give up hope. There's great strength waiting on God. Psalm 46:10, many of you said, is your favorite Bible verse. When I challenge you during one of my sevens of seven, write back your favorite Bible verse. Some of you wrote back Psalm 46:10, just to be still sometimes in life. And know that God is God. That's waiting on God. I thank you for that. There is strength, principle number one we can learn here in Isaiah 40. Look at your Bible. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, there is strength in waiting. There can be. You look at a bodybuilder. A bodybuilder doesn't decide one day he's going to go to Gold's Gym or whatever his gym of choice is and says, you know what? I really need to lose some weight and get fit. No, it takes time for him to slowly build up his strength. You don't go in there and just do a clean and snatch of 500 pounds. You start off with small weights. You start building up to that. It's very likely people here today could not do one chin-up. Remember the days you had to take that presidential examination when you were in school? You know they lowered the standards in that in America? You think I'm being political? This is such a sad commentary. Boys and girls alike, we had to do so many push-ups, so many pull-ups, so many chin-ups, so many jumping jacks. You had to run so fast in a mile and all that, and you got the presidential athletic award. Today, they've lowered that standard so much down that everybody gets a trophy. You know why they say? Because our kids are unfit. And they don't want to discourage them. Here's a thought. Put down the soda. Amen? Here's a thought. Get away from the TV. Here's a thought. Go outside and play. Ride a bicycle. Climb a tree. Goodness. But here's a thought, spiritually speaking. You know why the kids are not in church today? Because we allowed them to do that. That's just bad parenting. Don't worry about it. God has lowered the bar. No, you make church exciting. You don't tell the kids you got to go to church. You get to go to church. They see mom and dad patiently waiting on God. They see mom and dad growing in their strength. They see mom and dad sharing testimonies at the dinner table. Let me tell you how God rescued us. We didn't have money to pay the bills, and yet God answered. They get excited about their faith. They make it their own. God, just like a bodybuilder. Start off slow today. If the last 12 months, all you've been doing is just looking at yourself and not looking at God, that's not been a biblical perspective. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, grow in your strength. You can grow in strength by waiting on God. That's the first part of this verse. Let me show you the second thing down here. There is sincerity in mounting. Seriousness. Sincerity in mounting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Principle number one, there is strength in waiting. Yes! But also, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. There is sincerity in mounting. Friends, it takes a sincere heart to mount up as an eagle. It takes a very serious-minded Christian to mount up as an eagle. You think about this. You spread your wings. You think about an eagle when it's pushed out of the nest for the first time. Think about that. They had to spread their wings. The majestic bird. Someone came in the office the other day and said, I just saw an eagle flying over here. I know we have now in the river, but I saw an eagle flying over here over Roncevert. And I thought of this verse. And preacher, I know you would appreciate it. I said, little did you know, I'm going to be sharing God's truths from here, what we can learn from Isaiah 40, 31. There's strength. Strength in waiting. And there's sincerity, seriousness in mounting up. Yes, relying on God, spreading our wings, testing our faith. Just telling the devil, you're not going to get me or my family. Is this all you have to offer? My faith is on none other than Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? I'm going to spread my wings. I'm not going to cower. I'm going to spread my wings and let the devil know he doesn't have me. He doesn't have me right now. Better is he who's in me than he who's in this world. As for me and my house, we will serve God. I'm going to mount up with wings regardless what the government says, regardless what's going on in the world as we know it. I'm going to spread my wings and fly high for Jesus Christ. Above the crowds, above the problems of life. Folks, we got to do this. If not, we'll get sucked down in this cesspool, this vortex, just get pulled down, and we'll look at life like the world does. We won't have a biblical perspective. We won't find patience and strength in God. You and I must know God is the answer. God is the door. He's the gatekeeper. Those of you who enjoy Southern gospel music, you certainly recognize the name J.D. Sumner. For years, J.D. Sumner was in Guinness Book of World Record as having the deepest bass voice ever. I can't even mimic it, making fun of it. And J.D., when he talked, he always talked like this. Swing low, sweet chariot. I can't even do it well. Well, J.D. Sumner in the 40s and 50s and 60s really launched Southern gospel music, the four-part harmony music, as we know it today. You've seen him on the Gaithers. He's a tall man with his hair combed straight back, salt and pepper hair. And whenever they need a real rich, deep bass voice, who could sing the bottom of a note, they always called on J.D. Sumner. Well, J.D. Sumner said in the 50s now, they had the Southern Gospel Quartet Convention in Memphis, Tennessee. And night after night, he said, the place was packed. He said, but he couldn't help but notice right there on the second row, just like this young man right here, was a good-looking young boy there from Memphis. And he just hung on every word. It's like he's making mental notes, watching the four-part harmony there. And the first couple of nights, the young man was there. But then he disappeared. Before they closed out that convention, the young man showed back up again. And J.D. Sumner said, I went to see him at break. I said, young man, my name is J.D. Sumner. What's your name? You already know the answer. He said, Mr. Sumner, it's Elvis Presley. He said, young man, I noticed you sit right there, right up front for two consecutive nights. But you've been gone the rest of this time. I started to worry about you. Why haven't you been back? And Elvis Presley said, sir, I'll be honest with you. I didn't have money for a ticket. And J.D. Sumner said, boy, let me tell you something. Anytime I'm in concert, I want you to come to the stage door. When the guard opens the door, you say, J.D. Sumner said, I can come in for free. He said, and I did that. He said, now listen to me. Just years later, Elvis Presley, with his sold-out concerts, much bigger than mine, he had to let me in the side door. He had to let J.D. Sumner in. Have you ever listened to any of Elvis's gospel albums? That's J.D. Sumner and the Stamps singing there with Elvis's backup. He toured with them many, many years. And they had gospel sings together. I really believe Elvis was a Christian. I'll be honest to God, based on his testimony. And he shared this. He loved singing gospel music. But this is not about J.D. Sumner. It's not about Elvis Presley. It's about Jesus Christ that says, you don't have to pay your way to get in. You come through the side door. Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. You knock on that door, I'll let you in. I've already paid the price. Can I get amen? You see this? That's why you and I get to spread our wings. That's why we get to go and share our faith. That's why we grow in strength, waiting on God. Read along with me again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Their strength in waiting, yes. But then also, their sincerity in mounting, seriousness in mounting, stretching wings. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Friends, I submit to you, Elvis was a great singer, but there's not but one king. Can I get an amen? Elvis was a great singer, but there's not but one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What's his name? Jesus. Thank God for Elvis's testimony. Thank God for the J.D. Sumner of the world who invests in this young man. But it's about Jesus, who gives these voices so they can go out and glorify God in gospel songs. Just like your life, my life, our lives should emulate that of Jesus Christ and our Lord, and of course, glorify God. Therefore, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, what do you do? Do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And what does Colossians say? Whatever you do, you do with all of your might, all your might. Good night. It would be hard for me to be in the business world today, hiring people to say, well, I might come to work. I might give you 80%. I might do this. I might do that. Folks, I come from the generation when you want to go to work, you give 100%. Can I get an amen? Oh, and then when it comes to Christianity, I want to serve Jesus with all of my might, all of my strength. I want to spread my wings. How about you? Well, let's continue on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. This brings me to principle number 3. There is satisfaction in running. Yes. Well, that's a ridiculous statement, Dallas. There is satisfaction in running. Apparently, you've never run before. If you're a ran long distance friend, you come into what is known as a zone. As a long distance runner in the past, and I think Brother Larry, Lilly, you were a long distance and sprinter as well. Other people, raise your hand if you were ran long distance in school and or for pleasure. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you, Doc. I see you over here. Thank you. You get in a zone. After the first mile, you're kind of like in a zone. You got the cruise control on. And you find inner peace, satisfaction. You've paced yourself. You're breathing. Your running habits, you're at a certain gait there. You really can't describe it. It's called a runner's zone. I thought I was a runner until a few years ago. Don and I were running in a 10K down in Richmond, the UCROPS 10K. A couple hundred thousand people show up. It's wonderful. We start off in downtown Monument Avenue. We run down what once was the monuments. They're on the cobblestone streets. Churches and people come out, and they play music and they cheer you on. And you get to the end, you end up at MCV and VCU, the university and the hospital there, and you have the cool-down stations, and all the money that's raised goes to local charities, and it's a good Christian-based organization, Bob Ucrops and family. And I thought I was a runner until one day I was down there with Donna. I was going to run with her and her sister. My son was there, and he runs like a deer, so I knew Timothy would be outrunning me. And I looked, and there was Kira Glazard and her friend. And I stopped on the side of Broad Street. I said, Kira? She said, hey, Pastor. I said, what are you doing? That was a dumb question. She had on running shoes and running outfits. She said, we're running the 10K. And I said, you want to jump in a car, go with us? She said, yes. I said, we're on the second fleet. Do your best to keep up. That was a mistake. She said, well, I'll do my best. Raise your hand if you know I'm talking about Kira. Ran like an antelope. The last thing I saw was the bottom of her tennis shoes. Woo! She was waiting on me. She'd already cooled down, had all the snacks, all the things, went to the medical staff. She was bored to tears. When I finally crossed the finish line, she was like this. We've been waiting for about an hour. I said, not an hour. She said, no, really about 36 minutes. That woman and her friend, they ran so fast. Friends, you think about your life. You think about this verse down here. You think about the Hebrew children strengthening themselves, mounting with the wings of the eagle, and finding satisfaction. Yes, at times when you can run, even like in verse number 30, the young people, yes. The young people can run for a season. What happens when they get to be old like us? What happens then? Well, let's continue on. The satisfaction running turns into a stability now in walking. This is where many of us are right now. We can no longer really run like we used to, but we certainly can walk. We can have this cool down time. After that zone, running with the crowds, now we can come down. Watch this. We shall walk and not faint. Yes, cooling down after the race of life. You think about the four stages of this. Walking, running, soaring, or waiting. All of these things can grow our strength in Christ Jesus. No one should leave here today the same way you came in. Take something of this home from this precious book that the Jews, again, revered. Yes, there's nothing wrong with waiting on God. Answered prayer. We live in this fast-paced world. Gimme, 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 gimme. God says, wow. You can go to a drink machine and do that. Just put your coins in and get an instant drink out. He said, I want you to grow in your patience. I want you to grow in your prayer life. I want you to grow in your dependency on me. And then one day when I push you out of the nest, you'll be able to soar above the clouds. You'll be able to run with the best. And one day when you get to be old, you still won't fall. You will still be stable. Here's a little funny ditty as we close. The last lap of life. You know you're getting old when? You know you're getting old when everything begins to wear out, fall out, or spread out. Amen and amen. You know you're getting old when you get the same sensation in a rocking chair that you used to get on a roller coaster. You know you're getting old when the candles cost more than the cake. Friends, many of us are getting old. What have we done with our lives? It's not too late to draw strength from God. It's not too late to perfect a biblical patience waiting on God. Let's read it here again, shall we? Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Oh, there is strength in waiting. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." There is sincerity and seriousness in mounting. "They shall run and not be weary." There's satisfaction sometimes in running the race of life, running with God, yes. But then when we get to be old, there's hope for us as well. There's comfort for us as well. There is stability in walking. "And they shall also walk and not faint." Look back in verse number 1 again. This should bring us comfort. This should bring us comfort that God says, "I haven't forgotten about you, regardless where you are in life." Last week was perspective. What is really important? Today is patience. May God give us the patience we need to draw closer to Him. Let's pray about it. Father, once again, we come into Your presence with thanksgiving. Give us the patience, the fortitude, the unction from above to wait on You. Relief, not only from the coronavirus, but the other things we need here so desperately in our personal lives, those personal secret things that we're waiting on You about. But also America, God, help us. Help America to draw strength from You as never before. Revive us again, O God, as the psalmist says, and may it begin with us, the church. Teach us the importance of waiting and watching, of patience and prayer, of reliance and reverence. Teach us the sincerity of this moment and to take full advantage by drawing closer and closer and closer to You. So touch the hearts of those that may be outside the family of God. This is very, very serious business, Lord. You know it. Life is brief. Judgment Day is coming. Touch those that need to be saved, but also strengthen those of us who are saved so we will not faint, but rather push forward, onward forward as soldiers of the cross for Christ Jesus. Help us, dear God, to do that today. We pray this in Your precious name, Christ Jesus, and Your children said, amen.